Welcome to The Care Social, the podcast where we discuss the biggest topics in social care right now. Whether you're a health and social care provider, a frontline worker, or just passionate about making a difference, we're here to bring you expert discussions, insights, and real stories from the sector. I'm Barry, Content Operations and Delivery Manager here at QCS.
And I'm Hannah Kelly, Specialist Contributor at QCS, Health and Social Care Consultant and Wellbeing Specialist at Thrive, the Centre for Wellbeing.
Today we're talking about burnout in the health and social care sector. So let's get started. So Hannah, thanks for joining me. So let's start with understanding burnout and the basics. So for people that are listening that are not quite sure, what exactly is burnout? And how does it manifest in health and social care?
So burnout is more than just feeling exhausted. It's a state of chronic stress that leads to emotional, physical and mental exhaustion. It builds up over time and it often presents as a sense of detachment, loss of motivation and a feeling of being really overwhelmed. In health and social care, we actually see it a lot, and that's because of the high workloads, emotional strain, and sometimes the lack of organisational support.
That's a tough combination, isn't it? And I think for me and you, we've both been frontline managers. So we've been there and experienced it firsthand. And quite often it's just doing the job, but it's
Absolutely.
How to know when it goes that. So what are the warning signs people should look out for?
Okay, so some of the key signs include feeling drained all the time, increased cynicism towards the work. There could be reduced performance and even physical symptoms like headaches, difficulty sleeping, poorly tummies. And also the thing about social care is the unpredictability. You know, you go into work and you never know what's going to happen one day to the next. And when you're under pressure, it can build and build. And the key is to recognise these early signs before they spiral out into full-blown burnout.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And both recognise that Monday morning coming to work, checking the safeguardings from the weekend and the accidents and incidents, and then suddenly realising who isn't turning into work, and you suddenly have to try and find staff just before you start doing your 9 to 5. So why do you think burnout then is really common in the health and social care sector?
I think there's multiple reasons. There's a few major ones. There's the emotional toll of caring for others. It's both rewarding, but it's also very draining. There's the pressure of high caseloads, long shifts, and sometimes feeling undervalued or unsupported. And I also think there's this strive for perfectionism as well, partly due to the fact that it's regulated. But I think it's much more helpful to consider striving for excellence rather than perfectionism, because perfectionism is completely unattainable. Also, dealing with the complex cases, trauma and grief can wear people down over time.
Yeah, and again, let's not forget that the impact of staff shortages and recruitment in the sector right now. People end up doing extra shifts and the manager stops doing their day-to-day work to cover shifts.
Yeah.
Which is a big factor that we see in social care right now. And it all just adds to the strain, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And sometimes it can feel like you can't see the wood for the trees. And it can be really difficult to get out of that cycle. And when people don't have enough time to recover between shifts, stress just accumulates. And if workplaces don't have a supportive culture, and that's one of the things that is so, so important, just that feeling of support can really make a difference to people, because without it, the stress does turn into burnout.
Yeah, so when we're talking about supportive cultures, though, it's easier said than done for many, isn't it? So let's talk about some of the solutions then. So what are some of the practical strategies that individuals and organisations can use to prevent burnout?
That's a great question. So on a individual level, self-care is key, and that's not a selfish thing. It's an essential thing. And self-care is so different for everybody. What works for one person might not quite be right for another, but it does mean setting boundaries, learning to say no when needed, making time for rest and engaging in activities that help you, like unwind, exercise, meditations or hobbies, just things that you enjoy that release the tension. What I will say, though, is that if you are feeling very stressed, even setting aside any of those times can seem impossible. But it is really, really important that you're disciplined enough to give yourself 5 or even 10 minutes a day to engage in some of these activities. And then over time, you'll be able to increase that habit. When you make things a habit, it becomes more manageable and it's more likely that you'll stick to it.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, but sometimes it's about how do you manage that sometimes when you're on call or you're on call for on call, you know. But what about when people feel like they can't step back because their workload's too heavy? They have to be by the phone because they're automatically expecting a call. Mm-hmm. So what do we do about that? And how do we get managers to address that so they can put measures in place?
So, I mean, that's where time management and prioritisation comes in. Also, that's about having a two-way dialogue with your manager's manager to make sure that things are in place that are realistic. Very often in social care, there's this strive to take on more and more work, and sometimes more and more work isn't actually viable. You know, it's bringing the money in, but it's actually crucifying all of your workers. So it's making sure that you have got that balance right. And, you know, I'm sure you agree, Barry, that balance in social care is crucial, and it really does tip the scales when you've got the odds stacked against you.
It's the unicorn we can't find, isn't it?
Absolutely. And of course, you're dealing with people, and, you know, people are very often not compliant. So, yeah. You know, you can't put people in a little box and wrap them up in a bow. It just does not work like that. And I've always said that, you know, we're not dealing with working in a shoe shop. You know, if your workers don't turn up, it's only shoes, isn't it? But if people don't come to work because they're stressed in social care, it has huge, huge effects. You know, it's people's lives that are at stake ultimately, isn't it?
The shoe shop is a really good analogy because I use that quite a lot in terms of, I don't say shoes, but supermarkets. If staff don't turn up, you can shut the door. You know, we can't do that in social care. The train still has to keep moving.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So, which brings us on to that organisation level quite nicely. So what should organisations and workplaces be doing to prevent burnout?
They really, really need to prioritise staff well-being. And this doesn't necessarily mean signing up everyone to yoga. Yoga is amazing, but it's not always practical. It means doing practical things like ensuring you have reasonable workloads, offering mental health support, and really creating a culture where people feel comfortable to speak up and discuss stress and highlight it if they feel like the pressure is really building up. Your staff are your golden thread, and it's really, really important that you do your best to look after them. And looking after them doesn't always mean you have to spend lots of money. You know, we're working in an industry where there's huge financial restrictions, but you can be creative, and a lot of being creative actually means being kind, being genuine, being authentic. All of those hold you in really good stead with your team. And also being positive about the work that you do. If you're not positive about it, your staff won't be. It's a trickle effect. And if you're having a really tough time, that's okay because life happens. But if you need to shout and scream, you know, do it in the privacy of your office with the door shut, and then go out and motivate the team. Having regular check-ins with your staff, giving them the opportunity to debrief. You know, this is huge. Promoting reflective practice. Providing access to counselling and promoting a work-life balance, they all make a huge difference, and they're all really good things that will keep your staff working in the industry. And of course, that's what we all want.
Some really key points there to consider for people in the sector then. So it sounds like a combination of personal and organisational strategies is the key to effectively eradicating burnout.
Well, absolutely. You know, when people take care of themselves and organisations really support their staff properly, we create healthier workplaces overall. And of course, you know, it costs such a huge amount of money to onboard staff, to keep them up to date with their training. You know, you don't want them to leave after 6 months because they think the grass is greener somewhere else. If you really create this amazing culture, you'll keep your staff for years. And certainly if you've got educational pathways within your organisation as well, you know, if they can see that they can progress.
That recruitment and retention coming back again.
Yeah.
It's always there. You know, it's like if you can recruit the right people and retain them, you know, and they're the right people, you know, you have an easier time. So it's been a really valuable conversation, Hannah. So, but before we wrap up, any advice for our listeners who might be struggling with burnout right now, that might be just starting to think, you know what, I'm struggling, what do I do, what next?
I'd say just don't ignore the signs. Burnout doesn't go away on its own, and pushing through really does only make it worse. It's okay to ask for help. Don't be a martyr, because, you know, you're the one that's going to suffer. Work will carry on, whether you're there or not, they will find a way. So reach for help, whether it's a trusted colleague, manager, mental health professional. And like I said earlier, remember, taking care of yourself isn't selfish. It's essential and it's a necessity.
Fantastic advice. Hannah, thanks for joining me today. It's been really insightful, and I knew it was going to be, which you were the perfect fit for today. So thanks for coming.
My pleasure, Barry, and thank you so much for having me.
So, final thought from me then to our listeners. Remember, you're not alone. Keep looking after yourself and each other. So until next time, stay well and take care. Well, that's it for another episode of The Care Social. Thanks for listening. If you found this discussion helpful, share it with your colleagues. Have a topic you'd like us to cover? Comment or email below at qcs@qcs.co.uk. Until next time, keep making a difference. If you want to know more about Hannah or get in touch, you can check out her active LinkedIn profile or visit www.thrivethecentreforwellbeing.com. Bye for now.